I invite you to turn with your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 8 this evening. Luke chapter 8, and we'll be in the 43rd verse. While you're turning, I might encourage you after the service to pick up a prayer card from us. I apologize, we're bad missionaries. I want you to remember that forever. We're bad missionaries. We only have two children, and we don't have a display. I'm very sorry. We're actually only in the country for just a couple of, about 3 months. I think it's right at 3 months start to finish. And we didn't go to the extra rigmarole of putting together a display. So we will do our best to be in the lobby after the service with prayer cards. And I will be happy to give you one if you will promise to pray for us. Let me just ask real quickly, how many people put a prayer card on the front of the refrigerator? Anybody do that? I see that a lot of places. I don't know if it might just be me. That's right, sister, that's where I'm going with this. If you're not careful, things tend to become a part of the furniture, you know what I mean? And so if you'd get my prayer card and stick it in there in the ice cream, all right? It's going to get in the way. That one wears out and take an extra, all right? They're cheap. We do count it a privilege to be here. Thank you, Pastor. I plan on spending the majority of our time in the Word of God this evening. And if you'd like to know Papua New Guinea stories, you go to the website. There's some on the website, and we can tell Papua New Guinea stories after. So I'd love to tell you all about the land that we call home. So we can talk about that another time. Let's spend some time glorifying our Savior this evening. Latter part of the chapter 8 in the book of Luke, the last half, outlines four miracles that Jesus did, and all four of those would be familiar to us. Jesus calming the storm, I don't know if you put much thought into that. That's a miracle was going on, and the disciples didn't even realize it. They were in the boat, in the storm, in the sea, and the Scripture tells us that the boat was full of water. Now, I don't know if you've thought about that, but Jesus was asleep, and yet He was still in control while He was asleep. That boat should have sunk. I mean, I've never owned a boat, but I figure you fill it with water, that's not going to be a very good thing. And there is this, in the middle of the storm, the disciples, they're afraid for their life. They're trembling. Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And it says that He rebuked the storm. I would have loved to have been there. Probably if I'd have been there, that means I would have been one of the terrified disciples. So maybe I wouldn't have enjoyed it. But I think that would have been pretty awesome to watch Jesus rebuke the storm. Hey, cut it out. That would have been pretty awesome. And then it obeyed. I mean, I've got two great big Great Danes at the house. And the only way to control them is to rebuke them. Get down. And they do it. But I got to say, to rebuke the storm and the wind and the waves, that would have been amazing. And here's what Jesus is teaching us. I control all things. I am all powerful. And then by divine appointment, this storm has now taken them probably off course from where they were headed. And they land at the Gadarenes, a Gentile area. They would have had no reason to have gone there, except that the Lord had a reason to go there. There was a guy there that was the maniac, and he was filled with demons. 2,000 pigs got to receive those demons. I am legion, if you know the story, I am legion, literally, up to 6,000 demons in this guy. Well, you want to talk about an image bearer that's been destroyed by Satan. And Jesus casts the demons out. I have control over the wind and the waves, and I have control over the weather, and I have control over the spirit world. And for those of us that live in the United States and in Western mentality, that means very little to us. But boy, if you live in developing countries, you will understand that the spirit world is very real. And for us to have a Lord and Savior who is greater that is in us than He that is in the world, I got to tell you, for Him to have control over the spirit world is a glorious thing. And then we come into Capernaum. The boat comes back across the Sea of Galilee, comes into Capernaum. Pastor, have you probably visited next to nothing there anymore? And he comes into Capernaum, And there's Jairus. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue, an appointed position. And here is Jairus meets Jesus at the shore. And he's got a reason to need Jesus today. His little girl is at the house. She's 12 years old and she lies a dying. I can only imagine what kind of turmoil Jairus has going on internally. This is, guys, I think it's so easy. We see people and we meet them at church and we see them and they smile and how you doing and I'm glad to see you. And I think the same thing was happening every Sabbath day at the synagogue as people come and Jairus, how you doing? Glad to see you. High five. And we're so glad to listen to the reading of the Torah. And yet Jairus knows back at the house, his little girl, and we don't know how long this has been going, but she's 12 years old and she lays there dying. And today he knows I only got one hope, and that's going to be Jesus needs to come down and help my little girl. And he meets Jesus there at the shoreline. I need you to come to help my little girl. And they begin walking, but there's going to be a problem here. We can see it in verse 42. The problem is, look in verse 42 with me. He had only one daughter. That's Jairus. Had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, here's the problem. The people thronged him. There's another word down in verse 45 that's used. This is Peter, and I think you, in just a second you're going to know where we're going with the story. The latter part of verse 45, Peter says, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee." That word press literally meaning the same word, but they use to squeeze the grapes. And so the people are squeezing in, they're thronging in. We're getting popped like grapes here, Lord. There's a lot of people. And I would venture to say Jairus has probably made this trip from the Sea of Galilee down to his house thousands of times in his lifetime. And this time, he needs to get there in a major way. And it can't get any slower. He's trying to get the Savior and he's pulling the Savior. And I think about the same time, there's probably Pharisees standing up on the top of the houses looking down going, "That's the last appointment that you're getting. Next time we vote, you're out, pal." He doesn't care. He just needs the Savior to help his little girl. And he's dragging Jesus along. Would you come? And that brings us into verse 43. And I see verse 43 to verse 48 kind of like a miracle within a miracle. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on what the rest of the of Jairus' story. We're going to focus in on this little miracle within a miracle. But in case you don't know the end of that, before Jesus makes it to Jairus' house, the girl passes away, but then Jesus shows up and raises her from the dead. Another miracle. He has power over the weather and over the spirit world. He's got power over death. He is an all-powerful God. And then we have verse 43. On his way, verse 43, a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And just like that, we could have had just two little verses of an amazing, quiet miracle as a lady came and touched Jesus and was healed, and it's over with. Just two little verses. But boy, there's so much that gets packed into here, and I want to I hope that before you we're over with this evening, I hope you understand that not only is our Savior all-powerful, He is all-knowing. And so let's see this the lady's desperation as we kick off into this. So as we look back, her condition, she had an issue of blood. According to Leviticus 15, she would be considered ceremonially unclean. And with that uncleanness comes a whole aspect of life. The Torah would be the law. That was what God gave to Moses. And then the people added on a second book. We would call that the Talmud. And that was maybe, for layman's terms, that would be like an interpretation of the law. And so here, over the extra years, men added on these extra interpretations to the law that almost became like a law in and of itself. And so how here they've added on. So as an unclean person, she would not be allowed to go to the temple. And then the Talmud added on, you cannot go to the synagogue. So for 12 years, this lady has been unclean and she's been cut off spiritually from a community of faith. She's out. Not allowed to go to church. She probably by this point says that she has spent all of her money trying to get help from doctors. She has no means now, and most likely she's not allowed to sell in the market. She's not allowed to touch things and then get passed on to other people. She cannot sell in the market. She has no income there. I wonder if she's even still with her husband. And the reason I ask that is because she's unclean. According to the Talmud, if she touches something and passes it off, then that becomes unclean and that person becomes unclean. So just play that out in the home. That means mom can't cook or do the dishes. She is cut off from spiritual family, but I think she's now cut off from her own family. And the reason that I think that is, you remember the Pharisees came to Jesus and they put this question to him. Is it okay? Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause? Remember that question? Now, we don't know that she's divorced from her husband or if her husband has divorced her, but I got to tell you, she's in a bad way and she's desperate and she knows that there's only one place that she can get help, and that's from the Savior. And I can just imagine as she sees the crowd headed towards the shoreline, she knows, here comes my only chance. And if I was her that day, and I'm not her, and I'm not even a lady, but if I was her, I would be doing my best to get as close as I could to the Savior in hopes that I could ask Him for healing. But then as the crowd thronged in and pressed in, she realizes she can't even get to Him. So perhaps maybe He can reach out and touch her. And then as she gets up close, she realizes there's no hope at all. And I can just imagine as she's working her way through the crowd, she's unclean. And anybody she touches unclean. And here she comes. She's coming through bump, bump. And she's working her way through and bump. And all these people, she's leaving a wake of people that are unclean now. And they have no idea about it. And she's working her way to the front. And she gets to the front and she can't get any closer. I don't know if you've ever been to an event where there's like a front row. Now, we never have this problem at church, Pastor. We never have a problem with the front row. You're the only one, right? This is normal. But at most other events, the front row is the place to be, right? And everybody's right at the front where it's happening. And I love air shows. In case you didn't pick it up, I fly an airplane in Papua New Guinea, which is just awesome. So I love air shows. If I can go to an air show, I want to be on the front row. I'm going to bring my kids up to the front row. And guys, we're going to get big and nobody gets to get in between us, right? And I think that's what's going on. Here's the Lord with Jairus. And they're headed to his house and all these people are crowded in. And this lady realizes she's not breaking through to the front line. And she reaches through. And I can just see this in my mind's eye. She reaches through and she grasps the hem of his garment. She's desperate. And I mean to tell you, just like that, shot of, I don't know how to explain it, it's the power of God, shot through her, and immediately, into verse 44, immediately her issue was stopped, staunched. She knew it. There was no need to go home. There was no need to go through the 7-day cleansing period. She knows she's healed, and He did it. And this is an awesome moment for her. We very easily could have stopped the story right there. And just gone on to, they continued on to Jairus' house. But Jesus didn't let her stay there. Now, look at verse number 45. I want you to see something here in verse 45. Verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now, can we all agree that He knew who touched her? I mean, that's a given, right? So, I think that we can also agree that as much as she needed healing, He knew that she needed healing. And so I can just imagine, here's Jesus with Jairus. They're walking, and as Jairus is dragging Jesus to the house, Jesus is dragging his feet. Because He knows there's a lady coming. And I just imagine maybe He's thinking, boy, she's about 50 yards back now. Okay, now about 30 yards back. Now here comes 10 yards back. Now 3, 2. Now listen, if I was Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, okay? But if I was Jesus, I probably would have said, "Hey, Peter, you got to check this out. Here it comes in 3, 2, 1. Bam. Got her." I mean, that would be me, right? But He did the most awesome display of quiet grace. There was no thunder and lightning. Just gave her what she needed. I think this is an awesome thing as the Lord not only is able to do things, He's all-powerful, He knows what needs to be done. And guys, can I encourage you this evening? He knows what it is that you need even before you know that you need it. And sometimes He allows us, I wonder if, I can't help but say this has got to be the way it is for her. He let her get to this point of desperation so that she has only one place to turn. And guys, I know that there's times in our lives where God will allow us to come to a point where we have to turn to Him and Him alone. Only God can help me out of this. Guys, sometimes we think we got it all together and we can figure it out on our own. And He's, okay, let's just let another piece fall and see how this goes. At what point are you going to turn back to Me and be in desperate plea? I must reach out to the Savior and grasp Him. And so if I can just go a little bit of application here tonight, I have no idea what it is that you might be going through. And if you're not going through something right now, just mark it down. It's coming. At some point, you're going to need the Savior. And there's only going to be one place that you can get help, and that's from Him. And I don't know what that might look like in your life. It might be that there's a problems in the home, and only you and your wife, or only you and your husband know about that. Or perhaps it's your besetting sin that won't stop besetting you. Perhaps it's some of the kids are becoming errant and they're walking away from the Lord. You've tried everything you can, but you can't get them back, and only God can get them back. And you know what you've got to do? Reach out in desperation. Lord, I need You. I can tell you one of the most beautiful things for all of us this evening, if you're here as a believer, the absolute largest thing you ever needed was your sin to be taken care of. And the only thing you could do was reach out to Him. And He took care of it. On a cross outside of Jerusalem, in the back corner where nobody was paying attention, some Romans nailed Him to a tree. And yet all of history hinges on that moment. I got to tell you, He's able to take care of it, and He knows what needs to be taken care of. And so may I encourage you this evening, He knows. And yet He asked, "Who touched Me?" Let's read it in verse 45. Jesus said, "Who touched Me?" And when all had denied, Peter and they that were with Him said, "Master, the multitude throng Thee and press Thee, and sayest Thou, who touched Me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched Me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of Me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Him. And she declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately. And so here's Jesus walking through the crowd. She reaches out and touches Him. She gets healing she needs. But then Jesus stops everybody. I'm Jairus. Come on, Lord. Stop everybody. Who touched Me? Peter, well, Lord, I mean, we're all getting touched here. And Jesus follows up. No, virtue left Me. And I can't help but wonder what's going through Peter's mind at that moment. Now, we sometimes deal with this here in the U.S., but most of the time this is not what's going through our mind. So let me help you. Mindset from another type of culture. And we see this a lot in Papua New Guinea. If there is a crowd of people, there will be bad boys in among them. And I can't help but wonder if maybe Peter thinks somebody just picked Jesus' pocket. Can't help but think this, right? And so here's Jesus, "Who touched Me?" And those disciples just turned around. They went bodyguard style. And they're just pushing the crowd back. Who touched Him? Who touched Him? Nobody. Don't. And this lady, it says that she realized she was going to be found out. I think she reached through, the crowd's getting pushed back, and there she is. She's still down on the ground. She says to Him, it says, with fear and trembling, she gives Him two things. One, what I was, and two, what You've done for me. Now you realize when she confessed what it was that she had done, what she was, that just painted her in a very negative light. I had this issue of blood and I've been unclean for 12 years. In her saying that, a whole ripple of people just realized they're all unclean. They're all going, "What? You just touched me." She had to confess where she was at. You realize that Jesus, God, the Scriptures are filled with questions like that. Who touched me? Jesus knew who touched Him. I think back to Adam in the garden. Adam, where art thou? God's not trying to figure out which tree it is that Adam's hanging out behind. Where are you? This is a moment, Adam, step out and confess. Speak out where you're at. And I look through Job. Boy, you remember Job at the end of the book of Job after all of this tribulation. And then Job gets to the end of the book. And boy, I wish God was right here and I'd tell him what for. And God does show up and God says, "Hey, Job, where were you when I formed the earth?" God's not looking for an answer. God knew. You weren't a cell inside of a cell inside of a cell inside of you didn't have a hope, pal. These are questions. Abraham with Sarah, and God looks at Abraham. Is there anything too hard for God? God's not asking this because He wants an answer. He wants us to confess where we're at. Can I remind you that you don't get to just come and be a part? You don't just come in and then, after some time, I'm just a Christian now. I come to church and I've just become a Christian. No, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Boy, I need You, Jesus. God, I have You, Lord. So she confessed where she was at, and then she said, "Because of You, I'm not unclean anymore." And I can almost see this because of the trembling. I can almost see, and maybe she didn't say it out with her mouth, but I wonder if the words were in her head. "Lord, I used to be unclean for 12 years. This has been following me around, but now You've changed me and You've made me whole." And I can't help but wonder if she's thinking, "Please don't take it back. Please don't take it back. Maybe I shouldn't have reached through, and maybe I shouldn't have assumed on Your grace. Please, don't make me go back to that." And I love the fact that He affirms her faith. Look in verse 48, and we'll wrap up with verse 48. I love this verse. In verse 48, Jesus speaks to her. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Get up off the ground, girl. You don't have to worry about this. I'm not taking nothing back. Your faith has made you whole. You reached out. She said, and Mark recorded it like this. Mark recorded this. "If I can just touch His garment, this is faith." And I think of Hebrews 11, verse 6. You should be familiar with this. "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." But the last part of that verse, "But he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Friend, you reach out to Him, He will reward that. He says, "Girl, get up off the ground. Your faith has made you whole. Go to the house. I'm not taking that away from you." And guys, I just love that. But there's one word in that sentence that I want to point out. And here it is, verse 48. "He said unto her, daughter." Now this story shows up in Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8. So we get it in three out of the four Gospels. In all three of those records, they all wrote down that Jesus said, "daughter." Now, further significance, it's the only time in all of the New Testament that Jesus called anybody daughter. Now, here's what I love about this. Jesus is walking with Jairus to go take care of the daughter of a VIP. And along the way, He stopped and took care of His own daughter. And guys, can I remind you that it doesn't matter where you're at. Whether you are already a believer or whether you've been wandering from God and doing your own thing all your life, you are an image bearer of God. And He will stop. And He will pay attention. And He will draw you to Himself. And He will save your soul. Friend, can I just encourage you tonight? You reach out to the Savior and He will take care of that sin debt that you've got carried around on your back. And perhaps tonight you're here as a believer. You've been following the Lord. Maybe that's a week or it's a year. It's been 20 years, but you've been following the Lord. Can I encourage you? Sometimes He allows things to come up in our life so that we will turn back to Him. Lord, I still need You. And He hears our voice. I don't know where you find yourself in that story tonight. I don't know if maybe you find yourself as a Pharisee up on the walls. I hope you don't find yourself there. Maybe mocking, skeptical. Hope you don't find yourself there. I wonder if you might find yourself as a disciple. Well-intentioned. But sometimes it's easy in well-intentioned ways to push people away. We like what we got. Oh, be careful. I wonder if you might find yourself as Jairus. You're currently in need of help, and you're so focused in on your need of help that you forget other people need help too. I encourage you, let other people get some blessing too. But maybe you find yourself as this lady, desperate. Can I encourage you to reach out to our Savior?